To the world the Lord is come. Let earth receive her King. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and nature sing, and heaven and heaven and nature sing.
On there? Ah, there we go. Very good. Well, welcome. Welcome to church. This is the last week of Advent. Congratulations to all of you who have chosen shorts. I commend you. Let me remind you once again that we are still in COVID season, so you need to have signed in, socially distance, use the hand sanitizer if needed, and unfortunately this looks like something we're going to have to be doing for a while yet. So thank you for continuing to do that, enabling us to meet together today. As you know, Christmas is coming. The geese are getting fat. Anybody having geese at Christmas? Goose? No, maybe I'm the goose, I don't know. But part of Christmas, seems like a natural part of Christmas, is carols. Do you wonder why we sing carols at Christmas? Have you ever wondered that? Now, I know some of you will have an answer. Derek? Because they're Christmas carols. That is excellent. Now, the history of Christmas carols is a little murky. So I feel free to make it up because I've Googled quite a few things. So this is just one version. It may or may not be true. Feel free to go home and research it for yourself. But apparently, people used to sing carols all through the year, a festive thing that they would sing. They'd get together at occasions and they'd sing carols. Now when Jesus came and the church started in the second century, they started to write church songs and hymns, and they inserted some of those in the festive time around Christmas. And they were the only ones that caught on. So Christmas carols is all we have left of carols. But they didn't really take off straight away because they were a little bit dirgy. If you listen to any music from the first, second or third century, you probably wouldn't like it unless you had a particular thing for that. It's very different to the music we have today in many senses. And they sang in Latin. And so the people, the common people, they didn't like it very much. But in the 13th century, a guy named Francis of Assisi, have you heard of him? Yeah, very good. Francis of Assisi, he tried to get the people involved. So he had a midnight mass, he had some other things around about Christmas time, and he put the words and the music into the language of the people. And the popularity of Christmas carols slowly grew. During the Reformation, the Protestant Reformation, when the Bible and the actual service became in the language that the people could hear, Christmas carols became even more popular. But did you know that most of the carols that we sing, the ones that we think are really, really old, were written in the 1700s and the 1800s? We sing almost no carols from back of that time with Francis of Assisi. In fact, I think one of the oldest carols is written in the 1500s. Exodus chapter 15, verse 2, talks about the fact that we exist in the strength of the Lord and we have His song in our heart because He is our salvation. The Lord is my strength, the Lord is my song. And that is why we sing carols, to remind ourselves of who Jesus is. If you listen to all the carols as you go about the shopping centre, and isn't it amazing that we can still hear carols? In our secular society, the fact that through the speakers, you're hearing the words about Jesus coming to the world. Now, I don't know if they're still doing that, and one day I'm possibly that might be something that people think is wrong. How dare we tell people about Jesus at Christmas time during the season? But at the moment, that still happens. But as you sing carols today, and we're going to be looking at quite a few carols, not surprisingly, some people will come up and share their favourite carol, a couple who've been asked. We're going to have a time of testimony, and maybe you can talk about your favourite carol or something that's particular to you at Christmas time, or just an opportunity to say thank you and praise God. Because the Lord is our strength and He is our song. And so we're going to sing our first song today. You've had a sneak peek. Joy to the World. It was written 301 years ago. But the words are as relevant and true as the day that they were written. Joy to the world, the Lord is come, let earth receive her King.
That's one of my favourite lines in carols. It's one of my favourite, it's a deep prayer of mine. Let earth receive her King. Let's stand and let's praise our King to give the people around us a better opportunity to be able to receive Him. Thank you, Judy.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive the King. Let every heart prepare Him room. And heaven and nature sing. Joy to the world, the Saviour reigns. Let men their songs employ, while fields and floods, rocks, hills and plains, repeat the sounding joy. He rules the world with truth and grace, and makes the nations prove the glories of His righteousness, and wonders of His love, and wonders of His love, and wonders, wonders of His love.
Please be seated. Jess is going to bring us community time.
Morning. Okay, so I'm going to be updating you guys with what's happening and what's been happening this week. So thank you for Blessings Week that's just happened the week just gone. There's been a slide playing before church. You guys may have seen it with some photos rolling around on it. So that was all the photos from this week. So that will also play again after church, so have a little look. So thank you to everyone that was involved in that. That was really good week. Christmas collecting. So thanks to those who have already collected at Curramundi, Pelican Waters, Biwa and Parklands. James would like to see you if you can volunteer as well, so please see him. Our Christmas Day service is going to be at 9 a.m. on Christmas morning. So don't come at 10 or you will most probably miss it. Our topic for Christmas Day brings our current sermon series to a close with an incredible birth. On Christmas Day, we'll be taking up a special Christmas Day offering, which this year will go towards the work of the Salvation Army in Indonesia. Now, Tim, can you come up here and let us know what's happening for 2021?
2021. How many times have you heard people say, oh, 2021, I'll be glad to see the back of it? Sorry. Oh, I hope that wasn't prophecy. 2020. I'll be glad to see the back of it. 2021. Well, I don't know. Maybe it'll be good. Maybe it won't. We're trusting that'll be good. We've had an interesting journey in the world, in our church as well, as we met inside and then outside and then online and then outside and now in here. It's a bit of a roller coaster. Some of you may be asking, when are we going to go back into the worship center? Thank you. Thank you for that question. So we've decided we're going to start back in the worship center, God willing, assuming that COVID doesn't rear its ugly head again up in Queensland, on the 10th of January. That will be good. We'll be back in the air conditioning. It is a smaller space, so we will have to be a little bit careful. It's been lovely to stretch out here in the breeze, but the 10th of January is when we'll be moving back into the worship center. So we look forward to that.
Awesome. Thanks, Tim. All right, we're not going to have a kids' time this week. So, kids, if you would like to hop up and come across into the worship center with me, and if there's any new kids or visiting kids, if you would like to come across, you can as well. Awesome.
Kay's going to come and lead us through. Is this your favourite carol, Kay? Is that what we? Yes. So Kay's going to come and lead us and through her favourite carol.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Christmas. My favourite Christmas carol and why? We're going to sing an Australian Christmas carol, and it was written in 1945 by two gentlemen, William James and John Wheeler. Now, why is this my favourite Christmas carol? The reason is it became a favourite before I really knew that it was a favourite. So in 1945, after it was published, my mother was attending the Winoona Methodist Church. It was called the Methodists in those days. And the choir master decided that the young people for Christmas, I think a couple of years later, would sing these Christmas carols. So originally there were three Christmas carols published. This one, which is called Christmas Day, Carol of the Birds, which is really lovely, and Three Wise Drovers. Now, I'm a mum now and I understand this, but at the time I didn't. So one of the fondest memories that I will take with me forever, from the moment I can remember to the night before I got married, was that each night when my mother had finished her tasks for the day, there was no more washing up or cooking or cleaning or folding the washing, she would sit at the piano and play and sing. So it was anything from classical music to the music in the Methodist hymnal that she played when she was a young girl in church to the songster piece that the songsters were going to be singing on Sunday. So most nights of my life, I fell asleep with her playing Christian music. It was really lovely. So this is one of the carols that she used to play. So when I heard it as an adult, Maura thought, I really like that, and it was because it evoked those memories of home. The other thing that I just wanted to add was there's another carol called Carol of the Birds, and the first verse says, out on the plains the brolgas are dancing, lifting their feet like warhorses prancing. Up to the sun the woodlarks go winging, faint in the dawnlight echoes their singing, Arana. Do you know that one? Arana for Christmas Day. And Arana means welcome in Aboriginal. A few years ago, Jeff and I went out back. His grandfather and great-grandfather were outback policemen, and so we went to Winton. You been to Winton? I don't know if you agree with me, but I would describe Winton as brown. It's just brown and dusty. So we stayed at Winton. We're staying at the one motel in Winton, which had a green lawn at the end of the strip, the main strip of Winton. And early one morning, we were packing to get back, to come back to Brisbane. And I opened the door and I saw the most one of the most beautiful things I'll ever see, and it was brolgas dancing. And they were leaping in the air and dancing with one another and taking up the whole lawn. And I finally understood what I'd been singing as a little girl about brolgas. And I understood they were dancing. It was lovely. So we're going to sing Christmas Day. And I don't know about you, but when I sing this, I can feel the north wind, the heat of the north wind. I can almost feel the dust on my skin as we sing it. So do you know this one? It's lovely, isn't it? So tricky thing is, Kay's top tip for this carol, when I sing it, the second verse, the tree ferns in green gullies sway, it's really hard to get out, so we'll try to trip it up. So would you like to sit or would you like to stand? What do we do, Derek?
Up to you.
Stand? Let's stand and let's sing this. And so there's an intro, hopefully I get it right, but anyway, there's an intro between the first, verse, chorus, then another intro. Thank you. You did a great job. Thank you.
Now, it was only a few weeks ago that I did a chat in the chapel with Ray Heron. And Ray was telling us about some of his adventures, some of the journeys, some of the lots of things. And I'll just tell, his family are here today. We're excited to have you. The exciting thing is we kept him to like 10 minutes, didn't we, Ray? And it was a wonderful interview, but we were praying for Ray that day because he was about to have heart surgery. And Ray's here today. So we're very pleased to have you. Ray, come and tell us what's been going on.
You want to stand one of that one? I don't need to stand.
No, first of all, on behalf of Jean and I, thank you very much to our church family for your support and your prayers. And I'm happy to report that every day gets better. It's about 9 days since they let me out of hospital, and I'm getting stronger all the time. That's great. As Karen mentioned, we're thrilled to have our family here, our whole nuclear family here today. Not only Rod, who lives in Caloundra but normally worships elsewhere, well, he snuck over to join us today, but also our younger son, Lindsay, and his wife, Renee, and his daughter Grace, who's out with the kids at the moment. They flew in from Perth last night, and we're looking forward to enjoying their company till, well, most of the rest of the year, I suppose you could say. Karen was in the process of asking me to talk about my favourite carol and why, and I thought, like Tim, what is a carol? And I came up with one that suited my purposes. It was this, it's a gospel song that happens to mention Christmas. So with permission from Karen, I want to talk about a gospel song that means a lot to me. It has a lot to do with my life's journey. And then I've got someone who, they're going to sing it for us, so you can listen to the lyrics and listen to the spirit of the song. In the lyrics and the spirits of this song, it answers questions about me. Like, why was it 64 years ago when I was a 13-year-old boy that I determined I wanted to follow Jesus? Learn from his teaching. Try and copy his way of life as best as I could. It also answers the question why after 64 years I still feel very strongly the same way. It also helps answer the question why I'm in the salvos. Particularly as it in those days, it meant decades wearing a very black uniform. And this gospel song is called Man in Black. I'm going to ask my son Lindsay to come and sing it for us. It's It was recorded decades ago by Johnny Cash. And it'll be a special, I'm sure you'll enjoy it. It'll be a special treat for me, his dad, and it's a special surprise for Mum because we kept it quiet for her to this moment. Thanks.
And sorry, enjoy this, but while you are enjoying this, we're going to be receiving the offering this morning.
Morning, everybody. Hello. Just to mess with the sound man. The boom works better with the guitar, so. Okay, this is the only song I knew as a kid because the only secular record we had in the house was this song, and we used to just play it at different speeds. That was our fun as kids. And it's not cool to like the same music as your dad when you're a young fella, but I learnt this one for him anyway. And thanks, Tim, for loaning us the guitar. Well, you wonder why I always dress in black, why you never see bright colors on my back, and why does my appearance seem to have a somber tone? Well, there's a reason for the things that I have on. I wear the black for the sick and the lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. And I wear it for the prisoner who has long paid for his crime, but he's still there 'cause he is a victim of the time. I wear the black for those who have never read or listen to the words that Jesus said about the road to happiness through love and charity. Why you'd think he's talking straight to you and me? Oh well, body fine I do suppose, and I'll streak of lightning cars and fancy clothes. But just so we're reminded of the ones who are held back, up front there ought to be a man in black. I'll wear the black for the sick and the lonely old, for the reckless ones whose bad trip left them cold. And I wear it in mourning for the lives that could have been. Well, each week we lose 100 fine young men. And I wear it for the thousands who have died, believing that the Lord was on their side. And I wear it for another 100,000 who have died, believing that we all were on their side. Well, there's things that never will be right, I know, and things need changing everywhere you go. But till we start to make a move to make a few things right, you'll never see me wear a suit of a white. Oh, I'd love to wear a rainbow every day and tell the world that everything's okay. But I'll try to carry off a little darkness on my back. Until things are brighter, I'm the man in black. Thanks, guys. Thanks, Dad.
Well, thanks, Lindsay. Great to see you here with your dad today, and so thankful for God who's answered prayer. We've prayed for Ray and Jean and the family, yeah, and to see you here today. That is our amazing, incredible God, isn't it? Karen has asked that I share with you a prayer of thanks today. And so I invite you to join me now as I pray to our incredible God. Let's pray. Father, we come before you now, not to ask for anything, but simply to say thank you. Thank you for your generosity in enabling us to earn an income or receive a benefit so that we might be able to give an offering to you. Bless and multiply that offering that we have given this morning. God, thank you for bringing us together today and for this opportunity to worship you as our church family. Thank you for the privilege to be in your presence. And with thankful hearts, we make a joyful noise to you in song. Lord, thank you for what you've done, for what you're doing, and for what you're going to do in our lives and in your church. Thank you for each other, and especially those who cannot be with us today. Thank you, God, for your love, grace, and mercy. Thank you in advance for the blessings we will experience, for the times of testing that we will overcome. And thanks for the things that you will reveal and the wisdom you will give us through each experience. Thank you, Lord, for your word that tells us to be anxious for nothing, but with thanksgiving to present our requests to you. Thank you, incredible God, for the assurance that when we bring you our prayers and petitions, you already have a solution for any problems we might have. Thank you that we can rest in you rather than worry. Thank you for your peace, which passes all understanding, to guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, for your loving care. Thank you that when we trust you, we know that we can do all things through you, and you strengthen us, and you are our greatest weapon against the attacks of Satan. Jesus, our Saviour, our Good Shepherd, thank you for the assurance that your love and mercy follows us every day of our life. As our Shepherd, you guide us and satisfy our soul. We know that we can count on you to provide for our tomorrow, and we can rest in the truth that you will meet our needs. Thank you, God, for keeping your promises to us. You promise abundant life to those who trust you and assure us of many blessings. Thank you for the security in knowing that nothing can ever separate us from your perfect sacrificial love. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for our sins because you love us. And thank you for the plans you have for our life to give us a future and a hope. Thank you that even when we experience dark and challenging times in our lives, you are our strength and you will never abandon us. Thank you, God, for your gift beyond words. We thank you for giving us Jesus. Thank you, God, for your gift beyond words. May we always be thankful and not just ask you for things or ask you to bless us. For as we give thanks, we know we will be blessed. Thank you, incredible God, for the privilege of prayer and the answers. Amen. There's a lot of thanks there, but it's amazing when you start to thank God how much there is to thank him for. And I want to give you the opportunity now, as we sit in the silence here, I want to invite you to make your prayer of thanks. On the screen, there are some pointers that might help you if you struggle to put words together, but you don't have to use that. In giving thanks, we take the focus off ourselves and put it on our incredible God. So in the silence, God is here. I invite you now to make your prayers of thanks in the quietness, unspoken, as we sit in the presence of our God. Thank you, God, for the privilege of just sitting in the stillness in your presence. You are an incredible God, and our hearts are overflowing with gratitude this morning for all that you've done, for all that you are doing, and for all that you're going to do in and through us as we continue to give you thanks. Amen.
As Tim mentioned at the beginning, there's an opportunity this morning to share something of what God's been doing in your life, how he's been blessing you, or maybe sharing something about a favourite carol. Now, if it's about a favourite carol, again, it's got to be a short comment as to why it's a favourite carol, because if I look around this whole group, if everyone had 5 minutes, would we be done by afternoon tea time?
No.
Probably not. You understand. But again, we'd like to hear what is special in your life at this Christmas time. There are things that God has been doing for you. And maybe this Christmas has become special because God's done something extra special this year, what hasn't happened before. And so we're going to sing together a carol you all know. And between each verse, I'll be available with this microphone to let you speak into it and share those words of blessing which you want to share with the rest of us. The only word of warning I give is, I hold the microphone. Two reasons for that. One, of course, is it stops spreading germs and all those sort of things. The other thing, of course, is if someone goes too long, the microphone will just go away. I doubt that will happen. Derek, have you got your music yet?
I've got my music now.
Good.
All right. Thank you, Cess. And come all ye faithful.
come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him. Oh come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord.
Who's going to be first on their feet to share? Ah, we've got two straight off, Jill and Kathy.
Oh,
I'm here, Jill.
I guess for everything that he does, God does, he's always there and he always looks after you. And it's fantastic, it's amazing. He truly is a wonderful God.
Thank you, Jill.
I've got two, but first one is Oh Holy Night. It's just such a beautiful carol. And I just think of all the carols we watched as growing up on TV with all those beautiful singers singing that song. But my other favourite song is Mary's Boy Child. And I love it because I had a very baby boy child, only 2 weeks old at Christmas time. For my first time I became a mother was 3 weeks before Christmas. And I remember looking at that baby boy and wondering what the world had for him. And then I think about Mary's thoughts about what would become of her boy. And so I'm always reminded at Christmas time about Mary's boy child and having a child just before Christmas.
Thanks, Kathy. Anyone else before we sing the next verse?
Over the back, he says, on the lounge, in the expensive seats. Gold class.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I've got a little story about my favourite Christmas carol, which is Silent Night. Now, I always love Silent Night. And I was listening to, I don't know if anyone here listens to Jimmy Swaggart. No, don't take the microphone away. And they told me the story of Silent Night many, many years ago in a little church. The man who was supposed to sing the carol or in charge of the carols, he wasn't there. And then there was another gentleman there. He said, I don't know any carols, but he said, I know a poem. And he said this poem, Silent Night, all the words of Silent Night. Now, someone in that congregation either wrote songs or knew someone who wrote songs. And there the story began of how the carol became it. But I think they were a German. And Austrian, was it? You know the story, do you? Yeah. All right.
It's a good story.
It is a good story because that's my favourite hymn.
Sorry. Thank you very much. Time for one more? Time for one more?
You've got the microphone.
One. Yes, Len. I'll hold it.
Okay.
You can be long-winded, brother.
Okay. So. Now, I'll be short-winded, right?
Good on you.
With the word faithful. The word faithful means more than believe. The word faithful means to believe, surrender to what you believe, and conform to what you believe. So it's a composite thing, the word faith.
Okay. Thanks, Len.
Sing choirs of angels. Let's do that.
Sing choirs of angels, sing in exaltation, sing all ye citizens of heaven above. Glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him.
Next on their feet. Anyone out on the balcony? Wakey, wakey.
Are you behind you, Seth? Oh, in front of you.
I'll be back.
Okay, you can have a laugh at this one. When I was a little kid, we had the play and we were singing Away in a Manger, and I was one of those kids that was always wanting to be in it, you know, and I was singing so loud they told me to shut up. That was when I went to Sunday school.
But you kept singing anyway. Away in a Manger, right. Which was the other one?
Joy.
Last week I was transported back to a little country hall, a little tin shed it was, when we sang Little Town of Bethlehem. It took me back to probably the first school Christmas activities that I remember, and we sang that, and little people going along knocking on the door and the innkeeper saying no, no, no. But that's not my favourite one. My favourite one is, now it's gone.
That's a bad sign, Joy. That's a bad sign.
It goes to Dick's.
A Little Town of Bethlehem.
As with gladness, thank you. Men of old did the guiding star behold. And it goes on to say, may we all be like those wise men. And seek that.
Thank you, Joy. Time for one more. Anyone? Keep it in the family.
I'm not a very big traditionalist, but I love the way Christmas carols sound on a brass band, and O Come All Ye Faithful is one of my favourites to be heard on a brass band.
Bring on the brass band.
She loves the brass band.
Thanks, Derek.
Okay. Now, as a lot of you know, every carol is my favourite, and there's a line in this one which I just love, and it's, Word of the Father now in flesh appearing. What a powerful line. What a great acknowledgement of what happened on that day. Let's sing. Yea, Lord, we greet thee.
Yea, Lord, we greet thee on this happy morning. Jesus, to thee be glory give. Word of the flesh appearing, O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.
All right, I'm going to take over here and do something different. This is my friend Mario. We met Mario last year. He came in and said, I'm new to Australia. I've got no work. Can you pray for me? I don't want anything but pray for me. Anyway, you just surprised me by turning up here and he wants to say something.
Glory to God. Originally, I'm from Romania. I moved in the UK in 2007. Then I spent 12 years there. Then I moved here. And the reason why I'm here is because God wants to change everybody. And I found it here, some people which probably share the good with us. It's really hard when you try to find something and you keep searching and you keep searching and it's there right next to you, but you don't grab it because you don't want it. Sometimes you don't pay attention to something was precious next to you. I found God and I found the real God. Not that I've just found it here. I was Christian from ever since I was born. I grew up in big family. We are 11 kids to our parents. But sometimes when God wants to wake you up, he'll do everything for you to wake up. It's just that moment, that matter of time when you stand up and you say, God, I'm here. I remember Elijah was somewhere up into the stone after he prayed for water, for rain. And then he said, God, I want to die. I don't want anything. Everybody's after me. Do you remember that from Bible? And God didn't let him stay there. God sent the fire. And Elijah knew that it's not God. Then God sent like a tremble through earthquake. Then he knew he's not God. And guess what? God didn't let him stay. He sent his Holy Spirit like a wind. What do you do when you hear God's voice? 1 Peter chapter 1. You have the Bible on the computer? 1 Peter chapter 1, start with verses 3. I've got a Romanian version. I've got only Romanian version Bible. I wanted to bring it with me today. But it's hard to translate straight away. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3. Because we are church, he is a church. Everybody probably we should bring Bible. Praise be the God and Father, our Lord Jesus Christ. In his grace mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. That's the hope what Jesus Christ came for us. Psalm 119 said that God knows us. God knows you when you stand, when you walk. He knows your thoughts. He knows everything. What you're doing these days. When you turn your face towards God, what's happening? I can see many elderly people here, but not many, many young. Can you promise me something? When you go back home today, take the Bible and read chapter 119 from Psalms. Read out chapter 1 from Peter, 1 Peter. And God may help us to grow. Make sure when we come next time to church, we bring our Bibles with us. I was at church down in Brisbane last Sunday. And I forgot my Bible there in the church. I had the little one, my auntie from Melbourne was there. And I was so concentrated with other things. But then when I drove 2 hours back home, I realized that I don't have the Bible. I have something in my heart. I can't live without God. I can't live without God because he's my hope. What hope you have today? Is that same hope? God bless you all.
Thank you, Mario. Bill's going to read us a Bible reading this morning. Thanks, Bill.
Reading from Luke, chapter 1, verses 39 to 56 from the New International Version. And it's entitled, Mary Visits Elizabeth. At that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice she exclaimed, Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? And as soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leapt for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that the Lord would fulfill his promises to her. And then Mary's song. And Mary said, My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their innermost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors. And Mary stayed with Elizabeth for about 3 months and then returned home.
Hi, Auntie Liz. I thought we could have a quick convo about my visit to help with the baby. Is this a bad time?
Oh, Mary, it's so good to see you. No, this is a great time. Oh.
Auntie Liz, before we talk, I've got to tell you something.
No, you don't. You don't have to say anything. My little Johnny jumped when you said hello. He's leaping for joy, my darling. He's leaping because he knows who you're carrying. We both do.
How can you?
I know the same way I know why a 60-year-old woman is having a baby. Your Uncle Zek's not that good.
Honey Liz!
Oh, it's God, darling one. It's all God.
So you know?
I know. I've been waiting for your call. I'm pleased as punch to see you, my darling. How often does a woman get to meet the mother of her lord? I'm so proud of you, darling. You're trusting God's promises and you're pushing on.
Oh, I'm so happy you said that. I felt like I've been on my own. Well, not on my own because I know God's with me. That's what it's like, really. Every time I look at the problem, it seems super large and unbeatable. But every time I look at him, I know he's going to save me because he's the one who takes care of people like you and me.
Well, you're not alone, my darling. Your aunt has been getting quite a few stares over the last few months. But keep going the way you're going, darling. Keep trusting him. Keep trusting him. And people will be talking about you for years to come. They'll even name their bubs after you.
Thanks, Auntie Liz. Really. But it's not me. It's God. He's done an incredible thing, including me, in his plan. I can't help but feeling this is the start of him putting everything right. Of putting down all the people who think they're so good and lifting up the ones who don't think much of themselves. I've been hungry to see his will be done. And looking around, seeing everything that's going wrong with the Romans and the Zealots and everyone else who's in it for themselves, I've just been waiting for the day when he kicks them out. And I think this baby of his, my Jesus, is part of that.
More than that, darling. Much, much more. This son is going to fulfill all of the promises we've ever been given since Abraham was a boy. He's going to lift up those who trust in him. And he's going to give us not what we deserve, but the mercy we need. And honestly, I can't wait.
Me too. Oh, me too. Oh, I'm so glad you said that. I was wondering how I was going to explain it all. Things have been really difficult over here. Mum and Dad are so embarrassed. And Joey, he's good. And I know he loves me. But he doesn't know what to do. And he's finding it hard to talk to me. Maybe when I visit, I could stay a while longer than we talked.
You could stay for 3 months, darling. Oh, the longer you're under my roof, the better. The happier I'll be, and my baby. You can play some charades with Uncle Zek. He's been a bit quiet lately. I think our babies are going to be very good friends.
I love you, Auntie Liz.
I love you too, darling one. I'll see you when you get here.
See you.
Bye.
Well, that's a new perspective on the story, isn't it? It's a 2020 spin. I think some people spent too long on Zoom calls during COVID times. So I'm not surprised that someone decided to put that current perspective onto it. Story that's 2,000 years old. So last week, if you were here, or if you've watched the service online, if you've managed to catch up, Tim talked to us about incredible news. And we looked at the passage where Gabriel appeared to Mary with some incredible news. that she was going to have a baby. And so we read from Luke 1, 31 to 33, "You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever. His kingdom will never end." Incredible news indeed. And we looked a bit at what Mary's response was to that news last week. After her initial, "I'm going to what? You're going to what?" She said a couple of things. She decided, this was her response, "I am the Lord's servant. May your word to me be fulfilled." Or in other words, "I'm all yours, God. Do whatever you want." So today we're travelling a little further along in this passage to see how Elizabeth responds to Mary's news and then Mary's more considered response. And we're going to look at that passage, which we call the Magnificat today. So Bill read to us that Mary got ready, hurried down to a hill country town in Judea, entered Zechariah's home. And from verse 41, we read then, "When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, the baby leapt in her womb. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. In a loud voice, she exclaimed, 'Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you'll bear.'" She also wants to know, "Why me though? Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, this baby in my womb leapt for joy." Now, if you have ever been in that fortunate position to feel a baby leap in your womb, It's a real privilege. And I was thinking about 23 years ago. It was the end of the school term. It was very hot. We probably didn't have air conditioning in the staff room. And it was late in the day. I was hungry, tired. I don't know how far pregnant I was, but it's around that time. And I thought that something had landed on my side. And I was flicking this thing off, a little bit disgusted that there would be some kind of creature or a fly or a spider or something on me. And as much as I flicked and flicked, it wouldn't go away, and there was nothing there. So the dawning happened where I realized this was actually coming from inside, and this was the movement of a baby. Now, it wasn't quite the leap that Elizabeth talks about, but certainly before too long, that child, who is our son Thomas, started kicking like you wouldn't believe. I think I was actually bruised from the kicking from this child. But Elizabeth wasn't able to ignore that physical response. She couldn't just sort of, "Oh, I don't know what happened there." She knew what it was. And Luke describes this response by explaining, "Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. The baby, John, who himself was a miracle baby, a God-destined miracle there, leaped at the sound," or leapt at the sound "of Mary's voice and at the presence of who he knew would be the Saviour of the world." It must have been quite an amazing time. And Elizabeth acknowledged the special nature of this baby. She acknowledged Mary's role in this, but how did she know it all? How did she know that was the case? So the presence of the Holy Spirit in her gave her this divine insight. And that Holy Spirit in us today can give us that same response, the same feeling, the same knowledge. So that same Spirit that moved the baby, that moved Mary, that moved Elizabeth, that moved us, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in us today in every believer. And what we see there in Elizabeth's response is encouragement. She's encouraging to Mary. She's excited and she's genuine. She has a belief that what Mary has just told her will be fulfilled. She has a great faith. And what we don't see from her is just as telling. She doesn't criticize her young relative. She doesn't take the limelight for herself. After all, she's expecting a baby too. She's a little bit further along, and it's quite miraculous as well. But she doesn't do that. There's no jealousy, no judgment. Don't we all need an Auntie Liz in our lives? Someone that will speak to us like that. And an Uncle Zechariah as well. And hopefully you've got people in your lives that perform that role, that encourage you. Now in the final verse there, sorry, only got halfway through, Elizabeth gives Mary a blessing and she talks about her faith. Blessed is she who has believed. Elizabeth knows that Mary's blessed. She's blessed to be bearing this child. She's blessed because she knows that it's true. Her faith is a source of blessing. Elizabeth also knows how blessed she is to be in the presence of her Saviour. Now, this most significant, well-studied section that we read in the Bible, the Magnificat, or Mary's Praise, or the Song of Mary, is very well known. And out of Mary's thankful heart, she starts to praise God. She sings her own carol, her favourite carol. She's been given a wonderful blessing, and she contemplates this whole situation, how she feels about it, what's happening to her, and the choice she makes out of the situation is she begins to praise God. I wonder if that's our response to being blessed, to realise how all these amazing things are. Do we start to praise God? Do we sing our praises to Him and thank Him, praise Him? Now, Mary's focus is on the goodness of God. That's what she talks about. And not just God's goodness to her in this moment, but His goodness to all generations throughout the ages. Mary talks about three different things. She talks about God's holiness. She talks about God's power and God's mercy. So they're the three things I'm quickly going to have a look through. First and foremost, though, Mary knew that this God who could do amazing things was, at that time, right there for her and is still a holy God. If we lose sight of that factor, of the holiness of God, then the doing, the mercy, the works, they don't really hold that true significance. We need to keep that at first and foremost, that God is holy. Mary says, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed. For the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." I was also reading in some commentaries about Luke and talking about the Magnificat. It is rich in describing God's attributes. There's a lot in here that we could look at all day about the attributes of God. But assurance comes for us in knowing this, that God is holy, that He's powerful, yes, and that He is a God of mercy, but always that God is holy. Secondly, God is powerful. So Mary talks about His might and His power. He has performed mighty deeds with His arm. He's brought down rulers from their thrones. Mary, no doubt, knew of these mighty deeds. She knew about the wonders and the power of this holy God. Her family had taught her these truths all her life. And she not only knew about His power as an abstract concept, though, she had now experienced this power of God in her life. So it's one thing for us to say that God is powerful, but to know His power, to have experienced that power, that is when living really begins. And the third factor she speaks about here is God's mercy. God is merciful. His mercy extends to those who fear Him from generation to generation. He's filled the hungry with good things, and we also have the end to that, but He sent the rich away empty. He's helped His servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever. So God shows us His mercy. God is holy. God is powerful. God is merciful. So it's the simple words of praise of a young pregnant girl. They teach us so many things about the nature of God. In all of these things, though, in God's holiness, in His power and His mercy, He takes what's happening and turns the whole world upside down. This baby Jesus, this little helpless babe, grows up to be this man, this Son of God. He'll grow up to get in trouble with the religious men and the leaders, the Pharisees by spending his time eating and drinking with the wrong types of people, with the tax collectors and the sinners. Mary and Elizabeth and generations of God's chosen people, at this time they've been longing to see the day. They've been waiting and waiting to see the day when God would remember his promises to Abraham and he would act to bring in his kingdom and to put the world right. At the time, injustice was rife. The Roman Empire was cruel in their control. There was no care for the poor. There was no blessings days and handing out things for people. The vulnerable and the people of God were longing. Everyone was longing for their God to come through and to intervene. The world was in a bit of a mess. Have you heard that said recently, that the world's in a bit of a mess? In the midst of that mess, though, Mary and Elizabeth waited. They waited. Our pregnancy is indeed a waiting game. It's a time where you must learn to wait, because nothing or nobody will make that baby come until that is the right time. And the same thing applies to God's kingdom. Just like that we wait for a baby, the coming of God cannot be forced, cannot be rushed. In his time, God makes all things right. And while we wait, we hope. Now you'll see on our back wall that word hope. And it's really been emphasized this week especially. We showed a PowerPoint presentation before church, and we'll put it on later. This is just a few of the images. And we had that banner, so everyone got a photo taken, had hope there. And it was really important that we just shared that hope. God has given us opportunity after opportunity to share his hope with people. We had our blessings days over 4 days, and there's still things to come, so we're going to continue with that next week in a less formal way. Toys and smiles and hampers given to people. We had our final community dinner, and along with the turkey and the ham and the delicious roast vegetables and the yummy pavlova, we served a side serve of hope to people. And our collectors that have been out this week at Curramundi and Parklands and Biwa and Pelican Waters have not just been there to receive some donations for our Christmas appeal, but they've been giving hope. They've been blessing people. It's been a great opportunity. I had a phone call from a lady who said, I don't know who I spoke to at Pelican Waters, but they gave me your number and said, ring to see if I can get some help for a family. So yesterday, Dad and I dropped off a hamper to a lady to give to a family. Then she came down, walked down to the shops and just said, I just want to thank you. That family's coming right now to get this. What a great opportunity we get to share hope. And I explained to a lady through the week about Christian hope. What's different about the hope that we hold? Our hope in God is not just a passive hope. It's not just one that quietly waits, although sometimes it is all we can do is wait. Hope cries out to God. Hope pleads for God to turn from silence and to act. Now, Mary longed to see God act in the world, and so do we. We do now. Mary was excited about what was to come. While she waited and while she sat and while she prayed, she knew that Jesus would be part of that change to come. I love how it was portrayed in that video. Mary says, oh, he's going to be part of this change. We're going to see a bit of a revolution. She was thinking about this political change. And Auntie Liz says, more than that, much more than that, this son is going to fulfill all of the promises we've ever been given since Abraham was a boy. He's going to lift up those who trust in him. And he's going to give us not what we deserve, but the mercy we need. And honestly, Auntie Liz says, I can't wait. So with Mary, may we praise our God for his holiness, his power, and his mercy. May we wait expectantly to see justice restored, to see God's kingdom come on earth, to see, as I looked up before and noticed, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Let me finish with this prayer for us today. It's on the slide, but you may not be able to read it, so I'm going to read this prayer out to us. God of comfort, these times seem so uncertain and so incredible. The world seems darker than it has in the past, and the future seems uncertain. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe we are now turning to you with the realization that we need you so much more and that our lives are not in our control. Hold us, Lord. Hold us in your loving arms and let us be comforted by the strength and peace you want so much to offer us through the birth of your Son, Jesus. Thank you for the many gifts that you offer us. Amen. Let's keep trusting him, keep hoping, believing, and keep serving our incredible God.
Thank you, Karen. I brought a little note because the challenge is to keep it to 1 minute. When Karen asked me about a carol, I chose O Holy Night, not because I can sing it extremely well, but because of what happened when I was singing it at one time. I learned this carol at a small primary school, taught by my teacher, playing the piano with one finger. I was about 9 years old, and I was a member of the school choir. We were practicing for an end of year district schools concert. Choirs even smaller than mine were coming to present their own items, and at the end of the evening we were going to have a massed choir, probably about 100. It felt like 500 people to me as we got on the stage at the end of the night to sing O Holy Night. Awesome isn't a term people used lightly in those days, but for me, this was an awesome experience. Singing those wonderful words, Holy Night, it is the night of our dear Saviour's birth. A thrill of hope, a new and glorious morn was coming. But when we sang, Fall on Your Knees, I thought we might all fall. There was a touch of God that affected me even as a 9-year-old child. And it's a reminder God comes with his touch, young and old. This is an incredible hymn about an incredible God appearing among us. In the last verse, we sing of how we live because of Jesus. That his law is love, his gospel is peace. His name breaks chains of oppression, and we respond with joy. Christ is the Lord, oh, praise his name forever. I find this carol so moving that sometimes I'm unable to sing it. So I'm very grateful that Derek is now going to lead us in worshipping an amazing God, singing O Holy Night.
This is a song that you can't sing sitting down. Now, sometimes I say that to you metaphorically, but physically this one you really can't sing sitting down. The higher notes are at the extremity of my range, so I'm going to need your help as much as possible. And I know it's a lot of people's favourites. And let's stand. Let's make a joyous noise to the Lord. Let's open our lungs and sing this great song.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Saviour's birth. Long lay the world in sin and error bound. soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. Fall on your knees, oh, hear the angel voices, oh, night divine, oh, night when Christ was born. The light of faith serenely beaming, with glowing hearts by His cradle we stand. So led by light of a star sweetly gleaming, here come the wise Orient land. The King of Kings lay thus in lowly manger, in all our trials, born to be our friend. He knows our need. Danger, behold your King before the lowly bend. Behold your King the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease. Sweet hymns of joy in grateful chorus raise we, let all within us praise his holy name. Proclaim.
Amen. What a powerful, powerful song. I love it. Sonia, there you go. Sonia said, oh, I want to have my favourite carol. I said, it's all right. Someone's already chosen it. It depicts everything. Fantastic. Now, is Yvonne here? Yvonne. Yvonne has a poem that she's written. Yvonne writes lots of poems, and I wanted her to read this poem to us this morning as our benediction for today. Yvonne, do you want to tell us a little about it, or you just want to read it? Up to you.
Well, it was 1995 when I wrote this poem, and I really thought over those years that one day the carols may disappear out of the supermarkets. But it was lovely, lovely to hear in Woolworths the other day, the Christmas Carol, and that's the name of the little poem. As I walk through the glitter and tinsel, the shelves on the shops overflow, with gifts and sweets and all Christmas fare, I find only one consolation in there, from Santa Claus socks to apparel, I hear my Lord's voice in the carol. People rushing and pushing, seeking to fulfill their minds, constantly searching one aisle to the next. So many gifts, but of not the right kind. God gave us each an inbuilt desire to give to family and friend. But for Jesus the babe, 'twas no room at the inn. Still today in man's heart, there's no room for him. Praise God for the beautiful verses of the carols we sing every year. The world still thus recognises the carol amongst Christmas cheer. Oh, may we never miss out on a chance, as heart may be touched by the words, to share the sweet name of Jesus, the good news of the gospel, God's word. So as Christmas draws nearer this year, let us share of his love as we can. There are so many people in need of a friend. Let us see them set free of the bondage therein, praising Jesus that he has forgiven their sin. May there be myriad signs saying, rooms at this inn, as hearts healed and forgiven, cried Jesus, come in. And may he bless you all over the Christmas period. In his precious name, amen.
Amen. Please stay with us for morning tea, and I look forward to seeing you on Christmas Day, Friday, 9 o'clock.